Support for this podcast comes from Classic Films, LLC, presenting Billions in Change, a documentary of Manoj Bhargava about wealth and responsibility and the work he's doing in the areas of water, energy, and healthcare. Available for viewing at billionsinchange.com.
Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Margaret Whiting, a peerless singer of songs who, as Mel Torme says, sings better and better with the passing years. She has taken some of the most beautiful songs and made them her own. To me, she's the perfect interpreter of great songs. And it's true, you are singing better and better.
Well, I think, Marion, that's because I'm a happy woman, as you are, you know, and I think through the passing years, we learn more. You know, I couldn't sing as I do today when I was a younger person because I didn't know how or if I could. And certain musicians through the years have turned me on. Like when I was very young, I was taken in to hear Art Tatum. He took a great fancy to me, and I used to come and visit him every night. I never knew changes like that. Now, maybe I can sing some. But it took courage because I was, you know, straight on kind of a singer. But through the years, I've learned so much from people like yourself and working with different musicians and traveling around.
And hearing different singers, I guess.
Hearing different singers and growing as a personality, as a person, as a woman, and realizing that I've had a very special background in life and I've been very fortunate with my career, and I like to do things for other people. And I think maybe all of that works into making me know more and take chances.
Let's take a chance, and I'll play one for you, and you'll sing, and I'll play for you. Now, that's taking a chance, isn't
it? Oh, please. It's my pleasure. Anyway, let's do it.
All right. What would you like to do?
Well, I introduced this song to the world many years ago, Johnny Mercer and a Harold Arlen song called Come Rain or Come Shine.
Oh, I love that song.
Mm, so do I.
All right, now you count it off where you want it.
I'm gonna love you like nobody's loved you, come rain or come shine. High as a mountain and deep as a river, come rain or come shine. I guess when you met me, it was just one of those things. But don't ever bet me, 'cause I'm gonna be true if you let me. You're gonna love me like nobody's loved me, come rain or come shine.
Well, you must have done that every which way, like with small groups, big bands.
Well, I was the first person to record it. And Johnny Mercer, you know, outside of my father, was the second guiding musical and everything else influence in my life. And he'd signed me to Capitol Records, and I'd had several hits. And I moved to New York for a while because I had become, thanks to Capitol Records, quite successful. And there was a lot of work for me in New York. And one day he called me on the phone and said, "How you doing, kid?" And I said, "Fine, Johnny." And he said, "Well, I'm coming to New York with Harold Arlen. We're finally going to do our show, St. Louis Woman. And the ballad that we've written, we really had you in mind to record it. And we're bringing in Paul Weston, and we'll be in a couple of weeks. So I'm sending the song to you, and I want you to really learn it backwards and forwards so you own this song, because we want you to record it." Well,
oh, how great.
I hung up the phone, and I thought, Johnny Mercer and Harold Arlen, how lucky can you get with Paul Weston? I learned the song. I knew it backwards and forwards. Came the time to record. I went into the studio, and I started singing. We were doing a rehearsal, and I suddenly thought, you know, these two men, different backgrounds. His father had been a cantor in Buffalo, you know, Harold. Sure. And he was a son of that religious background, and Johnny was a true son of the South. Yet their music worked. It was as if they were one person. So I got so carried away that when I did the end of the song, I went, I'm with you always, I'm with you rain or shine. And Johnny came running out of the booth and said, what was that? And Harold came right after him and said, leave it in, leave it in. That's the way I should have written it. So it was funny, but...
Well, did you leave it in?
Oh, yes. I left it in, and they left it in, and he rewrote the end. He put the little curls on the end of it. You know, I found out a very interesting thing many years later. I could never figure out how Johnny and Harold had that same sound, and they could write so brilliantly together. They were unlike any other two songwriters, until I finally found out that Harold's father, who had been a cantor, you know, in the old country and came over here and was in Buffalo, first he came to Louisville, and that's where he heard the black music, and that's where he heard different sounds. And so he carried that with him to Harold in Buffalo. And many times the father would sing Harold's songs in the synagogue. And Harold once brought a Louis Armstrong record over to his father, and his father says, that man stole everything I've got.
Oh, that's really funny.
But it's interesting. I think that's how Harold got that certain kind of musicality, you know.
Well, did you meet Johnny and all those, Harold, when, like, I mean, your father was a great musician.
Richard Whiting. Well, I met them all. It was must have been in 1934. Four or five, we were living in California, that Johnny was signed to write with my father, Richard.
And what songs did they do?
Well, they did Too Marvelous for Words, and they did the biggest, probably the biggest copyright ever is Hooray for Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Which they did, yeah. Yeah.
Goodness.
And they did We Got Any Castles, Baby. They did a lot of songs. They got a great ballad called Can't Teach My Old Heart New Tricks. And they wrote several pictures. And then my father passed away, and Johnny kind of became the man in the family. And he did a wonderful thing when he signed me to Capitol Records. He said, Margaret, I want you to do one particular song for me as your first record. Because I loved your father so much, and it was my favorite song of your father's, which was My Ideal. He wrote it with Leo Robbins, so I said, certainly I would. I didn't think much was going to happen, but we got a million seller on it.
Well, that's one of the great songs. I mean, there's some quality about that song. It's just going to go forever, and it's just a beautifully written song. It's not too long. It's...
Not too short.
No, but I mean, some songs, they go on forever, like Windmills of Your Mind and some of those things. Yeah. Anyway, are we going to do that? And are you going to...
Well, I would love to do it.
Okay.
One who is my ideal. Now maybe he's a dream, and yet he may be just around the corner waiting for me.
I heard that you had a date with the big band. Now that must be something, singing with a big band.
Well,
like
see, many people think I sang with a band. I never did. I started on Capitol Records. And the first band was Les Brown's band, and Billy Butterfield fronted it.
Well, how did you get into that? I mean, did you just, what was your first job?
Well, I sang for Johnny Mercer many years ago, and as I said, he became the man in the family, and he encouraged me. he asked me to who my favorite singers were, and one was Frances Langford, and one was Judy Garland, one was Ethel Waters. And
good choices.
Well, and different. But he said, listen to what makes them distinctive and unusual, and, you know, you'll find your own style that way. And then I when I was very young, I went out to Grace Hayes' lodge in the valley. And since I was underage, I was underpaid under the table. But I got a chance to sing every night with a small orchestra. But at least I got the sense of that. And then one day I went on a program with Johnny Mercer at NBC. And they called my mother and they said, could we have Margaret come in every day, 5 days a week? We'll pick her up at school. And we'll bring her in, and she'll work with people like Gordon Jenkins and David Rose. And they had maybe anywhere from 28 to 40 or 50-piece orchestra.
Oh, my God.
They made the arrangements for me. So that was really my start. Then Capitol Records, and I worked with, Frank Duvall and Nelson Riddle and Billy May. And I never did jazz things, per se. And I never it was later on that I started working with smaller groups. Sometimes I work with Tex Arnold alone.
Yeah, I was going to say, now he's a fabulous accompanist.
Yes, he is. He is.
Just as a side remark.
And also a wonderful pianist in his own right. Yes. I heard him do a symphonic thing that he'd written, and the chops were great. But I work with Tex, or I work with a trio or a quartet. And then the big band the other night, which was about 16, 17 guys, and of course they wailed. And it was a jazz concert, and I got a chance to do some different things than I ordinarily do.
What did you do?
Well, I did The Ladies in Love with You in a kind of a fast tempo, and I did Might as Well Be Spring, an unusual new arrangement of that. And we did My Ideal, and I did I Happen to Like New York in a very strange bossa nova.
Goodness,
kind of
different
strange ending. I did Someone to Watch Over Me, and I did The Kick Out of You. And
day
I did,
in, day out.
Yeah, I did. And it's a very kind of swinging arrangement and unusual for me, but it was fun.
Let's do that, can we?
Sure. Day in, day out, the same old hoodoo follows me about. The same old pounding in my heart whenever I think of you. And darling, I think of you day in and day out. Day out, day in. I needn't tell you how my day begins. When I awaken with a tingle. One possibility in view. That possibility of maybe seeing you. Come rain, come shine, I meet you, and to me the day is fine. Then I kiss your lips, and the pounding becomes the ocean's roar and a thousand drums. Can't you see it's love? Can there be any doubt when there it is, day in, day out?
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.